and welcome to the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Please join me as I share the body, mind and soul approach that helped me to lose over 150 pounds of weight after over 30 years of countless failed dieting, starting from age 9. I am a qualified nutritional therapist, low-carb expert, stress management consultant, sleep, mindset, psychology of weight loss, holistic fertility, fasting, and coaching. I'm also a writer, blogger, and in a previous life, I practiced as a qualified lawyer. Let's do this! Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Episode 40, oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining me week after week after week, allowing me to do something I absolutely love doing. Thank you for all the messages, all the support, the encouragement. Thank you for being here and listening to me right now. Thank you so much. 40 episodes. Wow. Oh my goodness. Thank you. And I know I'm saying thank you. I'm just going to ask for one thing. Please, pretty please, if you've had any value whatsoever from this podcast, please help me out and spend 2 minutes and leave a 5-star review. And please share this podcast so that other people can find us. I really, really appreciate you taking just the time to get in touch, to encourage, to ask questions, to just shout out and just for everything. Thank you for allowing me to continue to do something that I absolutely love. So I'm excited about this topic. It's going to be a little bit philosophical, but so please bear with me and I will try and unpack what I mean by this topic. I'm sure you've seen the title, Do We Owe a Duty to Humanity to Stay Healthy? I want to talk about whether collectively we owe a duty not only to ourselves, but to humanity as a whole, to look after ourselves and stay healthy. I appreciate that's quite a bold statement, but let me unpack what I mean by this. A few weeks ago when episode 36 was released, which asked the question, if you would die for your loved ones, would you live for them? I got a comment from a wonderful lady in her 70s who has lost a lot of weight with me and has also reversed some health issues, all done in her 70s. And I want to say a big shout out and a big congratulations to this lady who is absolutely a rock star. And if someone anywhere tells you that you can't lose weight in your 70s and you can't reverse some health conditions in your 70s, they know nothing. This lady is a big fan of the podcast and she listens to every single episode and she's always kind enough to share her thoughts, which are always very sweet and very encouraging. And as always, after episode 36 was released, she had some really thoughtful and very sweet message to share, and very encouraging as always. She said some kind and some sweet things to me about the podcast. However, she also made a statement that got me thinking and which has inspired this episode. She said, and I quote, "This episode resonates totally with me and I guess with all of us in this forum, the young, the elderly, and the not so young. We must all live for our family, our friends, and honestly for humanity. Yes, we can. As a lady in her 70s, I can see why an episode that talks about taking care of ourselves so we don't become a burden to our loved ones and taking care of ourselves in order to do as much as we can with our loved ones and really enjoy our life and be healthy for as long as possible, and also to do as much as we can in our power to reduce the risks of some metabolic illnesses like type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high heart diseases, and even some cancers," would appeal to this lovely lady in her 70s. Hence her comments that we must all live for our family, our friends, and honestly for humanity. We must all live for our family, our friends, and honestly for humanity. Her comment got me thinking, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought this is something I want to talk about on the podcast. We must all live for humanity. How can what I do today, little old me, a random woman in London, England, how can what I use my hands to put in my mouth affect humanity? How can what you do today, wherever you are, listen to me right now, wherever you are in the world, shout out to Australian listeners. We seem to have many listeners from Australia. My mind is blown. And on the day of this recording, we seem to be neck and neck listeners from US and UK, Nigeria, Australia, Germany, India, Vietnam. Oh my goodness. Thank you, all of you, wherever you are right now listening to me. So, question, how can what you do today affect humanity from wherever you are in the world? And I guess the obvious impact when I'm thinking about myself would be to say that if I became ill right now or become too ill, this podcast would not exist or might not continue. And if you're a regular listener, listening to me because you randomly came across the podcast and you find it useful and you join in week after week, you may lose that connection, the connection we have from you just listening and me talking about things that are important to you, both of us. But how can we live for humanity? If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you probably get the idea that I like storytelling, because I think the best illustrations for whatever we're going through is somebody else who's gone through that. And also, I like to get to the end of stories. But it's not surprising that as a lawyer, I enjoy reading. And when I was studying law, I did a law degree in university. And one of my units was Law of International Relations. And it was a unit that I found absolutely interesting because I have an interest in politics, in international relations, in what's going on around the world. And I've always viewed the world as probably a global village. And I guess with something like the pandemic uniting all of us, the world even became more of a global village, because for the first time in our lives, we all had that interconnectivity where we can see how something happening in one continent very quickly affected everybody else just because people were traveling or for whatever reason. We suddenly, with the COVID pandemic, we saw how interconnected the whole world could be. But from someone who has studied law of international relations and who has always been interested in the world politics, not just what's going on in the UK politics, I'm very much invested and interested in the US politics, for instance. I've always been interested in the world as a global village. And when I was thinking about this topic, do we owe a duty to humanity to stay healthy? I remembered someone I had studied and hadn't forgotten about for so many years. And it's someone that you might never have even heard of. And is a man called Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson is a very interesting name. I don't think, apart from him, I've ever heard of anybody called Woodrow. I don't even know what that name means. This man was the 28th president of the United States. He was the president of the United States from 1913 to 1921. How can we live for humanity? I think this statement can be illustrated by the health of President Wilson and what happened to the world when he became ill. Let me dial back and kind of explain where I'm coming from. After the devastation of the First World War, which took place from the 28th of July 1914 to 11th November 1918, President Wilson said, and I quote, "I can predict with absolute certainty that within another generation there will be another world war if the nations of the world do not concert the method by which to prevent it." I can predict with absolute certainty. He was sure with absolute certainty that within another generation, there will be another war like the First World War. President Wilson also knew that the US will be unable to avoid entering any such world war, and he tried to find a way to stop such a war from happening ever again. He knew from certainty that there will be another generational world war, and he tried to do something about it. And in January 1918, he announced what was known as the 14 points, a set of principles designed to remove the causes of another great war. The 14 points included an international organization to keep the peace by providing a place where disputes could be discussed and mediated. It also inspired the peoples of the Allied nations and gave them hope that another great war could be prevented. When President Wilson traveled to Europe in late 1918 to attend the Paris Peace Conference, he was met by crowds numbering in the millions in Britain, in France, and Italy. And at the peace conference in 1919, President Wilson moved the seat of the presidency to Paris for 6 months while he commanded the attention of the world. He was faced with the leaders of the Allied nations. I should dial back to explain what I mean by the Allied nations of the First World War. The Allies were an international military coalition of countries led by France, the United Kingdom, Russia, the United States, Italy, and Japan, who were allies during the war, fighting against the Central Powers of Germany, Austria, Hungary, Bulgaria, and so on, during the First World War of 1914 to 1918. President Wilson had to contend with these leaders of the Allied nations who were determined to win as many concessions for themselves and as much territory as they could for their own countries. And he argued and fought with them through June of 1918 to make as fair a treaty as possible under those circumstances, which were very difficult circumstances, having just come out from a war. He drew up terms of peace, including his design of what became known as the League of Nations, a world body to settle future conflicts among nations. President Wilson knew that the US needed to become a member of this creation, the League of Nations, but whilst he was celebrated all around Europe and other countries, he faced his biggest obstacles in his own country. The Senate had reservations over the League of Nations, reservations that still obviously echo today about the US losing its sovereignty and becoming the policeman of the globe. President Wilson felt that if he could go around the US and speak to people face to face, they would understand what he was trying to achieve. People were still suffering from the utter devastation of the First World War. And there was President Wilson, who was certain that if something urgent and something concrete wasn't done, that there would be, with all certainty, another world war that would completely devastate the whole world. And he was determined to do something about it. But he was facing this big obstacle by the Senate of his own country. When other countries were happy to join, the US hadn't joined. And he felt that if he could go around the US and speak to people face to face, they would understand what he was trying to achieve. If only he could just speak to everyone, go to every single state. And he started what was a rather ambitious project of visiting all states of the United States of America to bring his message directly to the American people. Unfortunately for President Wilson, the Senate failed to ratify the treaty, despite two attempts at trying to vote this thing in. And also his trip around the US trying to speak to people face to face. During this American-wide trip, President Wilson fell ill. And soon after returning home, he suffered a devastating stroke, which left him politically and physically weakened. In mind and spirit, he was still the President of the United States, and he continued to govern from his sick bed with the assistance of his closest associates and his wife, Mrs. Wilson. However, the U.S. never joined the League of Nations. The U.S., the most powerful country in the world, was not a member of this League of Nations. The League of Nations continued. Its creation actually earned President Wilson the Nobel Peace Prize. And as he had predicted when he stated, and I quote again, "I can predict with absolute certainty that within another generation there will be another world war if the nations of the world do not concert the method by which to prevent it." Just like he predicted, the world descended into another world war in the form of the Second World War from 1st September 1939 to 2nd September 1945. The League of Nations was formally disbanded on April 19th, 1946, less than a year after the end of the Second World War, and its powers and functions were transferred to what we all now know as the United Nations, which was established on October 24th, 1945, with the aim of trying to prevent yet another world war, something President Wilson desperately believed in. So, what has all this history lesson got to do with holistic weight loss and lifestyle? What has it got with this podcast? Good question. Sorry about that. I'm very much aware of the fact that I've just gone off on one, and I've been going on about the First World War and the Second World War and history and politics and international relations. Sorry about that. Okay, let me try and explain where I'm going with all of this. I guess there will always be the question of whether there would have been a Second World War, as President Wilson had predicted, if the US, the most powerful country in the world, had been able to join the League of Nations, for which he had won the Nobel Peace Prize. Could the devastation of lives and properties and livelihood and the horrors of the world being plunged into a six-year war been prevented if President Wilson had not had his stroke, if he had been able to go around all of America like he had wanted and been able to persuade the Senate and everybody to vote to ratify the treaty to allow the U.S. to become a member of the League of Nations? Could one man's health have impacted the world the way it did? Do we all owe a collective duty to society to look after ourselves as much as we can? Not necessarily to prevent things like huge wars like President Wilson tried to do, but for other purposes? I would argue yes. In the UK, for example, if less money is spent on the NHS for treatments and medications of preventable illnesses, for example, perhaps there will be more money for some other vital services such as education and policing. I live in a very good area in London, an area where I've always felt safe. However, now with the cost of living crisis and just everyone struggling with everything, almost every single day somebody is writing about a car, their car that is parked on their driveway being stolen, because people are struggling and some people are resorting to crime to be able to feed their families. Perhaps if we're spending less on healthcare, we'll be able to spend more on policing. We'll be able to spend more on creating job opportunities. We'll be able to spend more on social security to try and support people during this financial crisis that we're all experiencing. Also, at the time of this recording in September 2023, the UK is still recovering from the impact of the COVID pandemic, with difficulties getting hospital appointments or GP appointments to see the family physicians. if there were less strain on the health system by most people taking care of themselves, thereby limiting some preventable metabolic illnesses. There would be less demand on the health system and therefore easier access to GPs, to hospital appointments, by those that desperately need those hospital appointments or GP appointments. And if we all collectively take care of ourselves, there will be less demand on the social and benefit system, which support people who are out of work. Perhaps more people will therefore be at work, less strain on social care and the benefit system, and perhaps more support for the most vulnerable in our society who need those social benefits the most, including the elderly who are unable to work and people with complicated disabilities and ill health which make them unable to work. At the time of this recording, it's beginning to get a little bit cold and we're now going into autumn and then winter 2023. If there were less demand on healthcare, perhaps there might be more money to be able to help the elderly pensioners who haven't got a hell of a lot of money, especially now we're getting into the winter months. Maybe there'll be more support for them to be able to heat their homes, to be able to stay warmer, to stay comfortable, perhaps if we're all collectively looking after ourselves. Because if we're all lucky, we're all gonna get old and we might be the ones needing those extra help. Do you remember that saying that says it takes a village? It takes a village to raise children. And if we are all part of that global family of villages, raising the children of the world, by being a healthier global village, we can perhaps better support our children. We can also allow these children to be children without the added responsibilities of looking after parents or grandparents who are ill or sick or perhaps not quite as strong as they could be in their age if we were all looking after ourselves. Life is a funny one, and sometimes the interconnectivity of the things we do and the people we're connected with without even knowing that we're connected to them can blow our mind. Okay, let me try and illustrate what I mean with a very simple, straightforward illustration. Say, for example, there's a guy called David who lives in the UK. He has a very successful company, small but successful company, selling leather handbags. These leather have got real good quality handbags, the leather they buy from Italy, but they actually have the designs sewn and made in India. And in India, there's a lady called Shilpa who is widowed, and Shilpa's business is doing very well. She has the biggest contract she has is from David's company. This contract is allowing her to feed her children, to have a reasonable high standard of life, and to have a good life having recovered from the death of her husband. And also, Shilpa has got a daughter called Bhavna, and Bhavna goes to a lovely private school because of the business that Dave is bringing all the way from the UK. Take, for instance, Dave doesn't take care of himself, and unfortunately, he has a successful business, but his risk management isn't the best. He was so involved in the business that he wasn't really the kind of stuff that could continue after he has this horrible stroke and couldn't work anymore. So David's company is in big trouble because he was such a hands-on boss. He hasn't really got the infrastructure for somebody else to continue the work and to take over. He was in your face kind of boss. But also the ripple effect of what's happening all the way to David in the UK has come all the way to poor little Bhavna, because Shilpa had that David's contract was the biggest contract she had. That contract was actually sustaining her company. Unfortunately, she's struggling to get other contracts. Not only is she struggling to get other contracts, she's been owed money by David's company. And guess what? Shilpa has no choice but to take little Bhavna away from the school where she's been going and she's been so happy, take her out of that school. And this continues. This poor family are now struggling financially, really, really struggling financially, almost at the breadline because of randomly what happened from somebody up there in the UK, somewhere in the UK, just becoming unwell. I'm aware this is a simplistic illustration, but just really wanted to say what I mean by the interconnectivity of all of us in the world, as a global village. Just how not taking care of oneself can then have all sorts of ripple effects that could then affect not just the same family or even the same company, but even globally, depending on where that person is in life or what kind of work they do. So in an ideal world, it would be great if we were all taking better care of ourselves for the sake of not just ourselves and our loved ones, but for the sake of humanity as a whole. This podcast has been rather a philosophical episode with elements of history and politics and all that thrown in. And I thank you for allowing me this platform to share my random thoughts. And I hope somewhere you might agree with me that yes, we do owe a duty, not just to ourselves, not just to our immediate families, not just for extended families, not just for those we work with, for our loved ones, but those, not just for those we have simple connections with, but for the whole world. We do owe a duty to humanity to stay healthy. And on that note, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the podcast, and I hope to see you next week on the next episode of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Take care and have a great week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. If you like this podcast, please do me a huge favor and like, subscribe, share with your family and friends, and please review this podcast so that other people can find us. Please see our show notes for any links referred to in the episode. If you wish to connect with me on social, my Instagram is Bells Low Carb World. That is BELLES Low Carb WORLD. I hope you join me next week for the next episode of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Have a fantastic week and thank you. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Thank you.